But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 13. We're going to do it again because it was a short one, right? Here we go. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 13. Now you really got it. Here we go. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 13. And here we go.
Okay, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. I'm wondering if any of you have noticed a heavier spiritual attack of late that you're having to deal with. Know that it is normal. Know that the things that are going on are very normal to us as Christians. Don't be taken by them. We were told in God's word that in the last days that the enemy would work at the wearing down of the saints. And that's exactly what I've been feeling like lately. Just kind of the wearing down. A little this, a little that, a little, I look like I'm flying. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. And just know that it's normal, but don't put up with it. You know, stand guard. And that's when your prayer time comes into action. So please remember to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, that it would come to an end as quickly as is possible. But know that if the enemy is not dealt with completely, we're not just talking about Israel. We're talking about all of the Middle East. We're talking about all of Europe being taken over. So don't be fooled into believing that this is just an Israel deal or an Israel and Palestinian deal. So also, let's make sure we get past 2 weeks. What am I saying? Remember when we had 9/11 and for 2 weeks we were there. We were together. We're all on the same page. 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, all that was forgotten. We're back to normal. Whatever normal was. After 2 weeks of what happened in Israel, all of the things started happening, of all of the marches and all of that, going for the other side and stuff. And, you know, it's just, we just need to pray that the people turn to God. That's the answer. That is the complete answer. And that's both sides. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I pray that Hamas comes to know God. And that all of the enemy. But anyway, remember to pray and get past that 2 weeks. Don't forget why the fight is on. And in our own lives, we need to remember to why we're fighting the fight that we're fighting. Okay, so just hang on there. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this morning. Nope, we thank you for tonight now. And we are thankful, Lord, to be in your presence. I pray, Father, for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would go before us in our hearing and in our speaking, Lord, in the small groups as well as in the teaching from the pulpit, Lord, that your words would be the only ones that are spoken. You have gone before us. You know, Lord, what our hearts are. You know what is in our heart right now, Lord. You know what we're, you know the thoughts and intents of our heart, Lord. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would go before us tonight and that we would hear from you, Lord, the word that you have to say to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And so you remember that the first three chapters are all about what God has done for us. And so we're continuing on in that as we get into chapter two. In chapter one, verses 1 through 12, all of the pronouns that are used in there are we and us and speaking of a group. But then when you get down into 13, he starts talking about you. He starts talking about the individual, the other people, not the whole group, but just you. And I don't know about you. He says, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, Paul is talking about you and me. The word of God is alive. It is at work in each of our lives. And every day, the word of God is at work in our lives. We have memorized verses. I know that you have memorized verses. All of you in here have verses that are in your mind from time to time. I have found that when I am stressed, and yes, I do get stressed, and yes, I want to reach out and touch someone. I want to hurt them in Jesus' name, but I just get stressed. And I will sometimes walk around the house and just repeat every scripture that comes to my mind. Maybe I don't know the whole scripture, but I'm repeating as much as I know, moving on to the next one. Getting the word of God into me and out so that I can also hear what I'm talking about, so that I am just enveloped in the word of God. I just have to do that. So, but people really do like to talk about themselves, don't they? I am not by nature a really good conversationalist. I cannot keep people talking. So I love to listen. I love for other people to talk to me. So there have been times when I've gotten with people that are also not good conversationalists. And so it's kind of like, so where are you from? Okay. Well, I'm from Illinois. Okay, and what city? I can't come up with questions. I'm like, it's like there's nothing in my brain. So I am a really good listener, but most people really like to talk about themselves. They like to tell you what they like and what they don't like and who they like and who they don't like and all of those things. And now Paul is talking to you. He's talking to me in what he's saying as we get into our text. When I was a young Christian, a new Christian, I'm sure that I've told you this story before. I had led my stepmom to the Lord, and she was sick, and she called, had my dad get a hold of me to come over and pray for her. And so I was on my knees praying for her next to her bed. Her eyes were closed. And when I finished praying for her, she opened her eyes and she said, I was above us looking down on you praying for me. I do not have, and she got better. So I do not have a gift of healing, but it is proof that when the gift of healing is needed, you have the gift of healing. You may not have it every time, but you have it when you need it. God is in control of all of those things. But the thing is, and some of you will recognize this, my stepmom was mostly dead. Any of you who have done The Princess Bride know what I'm talking about when I'm saying she was only mostly dead. She wasn't completely dead because she came back into her body and she was only mostly dead. What we're talking about tonight is those who were dead to God. In the first three verses, we're going to talk about those who were dead to God. And so we were dead spiritually completely, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, he made alive, you notice in your Bible that those are in italics, and when it is in italics, it means that it was added verse added words to clarify or something like that. So it's not in the manuscript, and it should read, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, you know that sinning means to miss the mark. It's an archery term, and when you miss the bullseye, you are sinning. You have missed the mark. That's what sin is. Trespasses are willful disobedience. Willful disobedience. You know that it's wrong. You know you're not supposed to be doing it, and yet you do it anyway. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses. We were born into sin. We didn't come into sin. We were born into sin. When Adam and Eve did what they did, that caused us to be born into sin, and that's why a Savior was needed. And so, in which you once walked, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, that's in how you lived your life, that your walk is how you are living. You know, how's your walk with the Lord? How are you living with the Lord? How are you walking with the Lord? So you, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, you just followed along with everything that everybody else was doing, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And so you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You walked, you lived according to this world. You did what everyone else was doing. And in doing so, you were following after the prince of the power of the air. Now, when I think about the things that are going on the airways right now, I know that he is the prince of the power of the air. When I look at the things that are going on games right now, Xbox or whatever, and I don't want to offend anybody, but you know what? There are things that are in some of those games that when the kids or grown-ups that are playing them come away from them, it's not real. They know it's not real, and they go and they do it outside of the game setting because it's not real in their head. And so the prince of the power of the air, that's what's going on in the war right now. It's the prince of the power of the air that is at war right now. Satan is at war with God's people. Satan is at war against those things. It couldn't be this evil. They couldn't have done such evil things if Satan were not in charge of their lives. It doesn't naturally happen. And so they're living after those things of this world, living after Satan. And among whom also we all, he's saying all, everybody, the Jew, the Gentile, he's saying he was included in this. All of us once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Oh, there goes that mind thing again. Here we are back on the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And so as I was studying, I came across this from F.B. Meyer. Now, F.B. Meyer was from a long time ago. So some of the words that he uses need a little bit of translation, I think. But I thought it was so good what he had put on this particular verse. It is as ruinous to indulge the desires of the mind as those of the flesh. By the marvelous gift of imagination, we all have an imagination. You say, oh, I don't have an imagination. I can't imagine anything. Oh, yes, you do. You do all the time. We do that all the time. This is a marvelous gift that God has given us, a gift of imagination. By the marvelous gift of imagination, we may indulge unholy fantasies and throw the reins on the neck of the steeds of passion. Throw the reins on the neck of the steeds of passion, always stopping short of the act. No human eye follows the soul when it goes forth to dance with the satyrs, That is the woodland gods in Greek mythology that were lustful and drunken. Or to thread the labyrinth maze of the islands of desire. Can you just get a picture of that? In our minds, we go in all these directions of imagination and things that we're coming up with and places we know we're not supposed to be, and yet we're there. He said no human eye follows that. But you know what? It shows you can't remain in that place in your mind and not have it show on your outward person. That's just the way that life is. It shows up. It goes and returns unsuspected by the nearest, those who are nearest to us. They don't even suspect that we are thinking in those directions. Its credit for snow-white purity is not forfeited. Everybody else thinks that you are pure as anything. It is still permitted to watch among the virgins for the bridegroom's advent. But, says Meyer, if this practice is unjudged and unconfessed, it marks the offender a son of disobedience and a child of wrath. That's pretty heavy duty. Take control of your thoughts. God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Bring every thought captive to the things of God. We must do that. The mind is where it all starts. Bring those thoughts captive. And then it goes on to say in verse 4, but God. So now we have dead to God. Now it says, but God. So thankful for the scripture writing that we had that was, but God. I loved doing that one. But God, only if he, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. But God changed everything. No one else could have done it, and no one else would do it. No one else would lay down their lives for someone who had treated them so poorly, who didn't deserve it. He doesn't treat us the way that we deserve to be treated. Psalm 103:10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Thank God. The reason for his intervention is given in the words, because of his great love. Because of his great love with which he loved us. His love is great because he is the source of that love. God's love is great because of the price that he paid in his own body for us. Love sent the Lord Jesus, God's only begotten Son, to die for us in agony on a cross at Calvary, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. God died for us. Jesus died for us. When we were destitute, he loved us in spite of it all. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. We are loved by the God of the universe. In spite of it all. He loved us in spite of it all. The result of God's love for us and the redeeming work of Christ, we have been, number one, made alive together with Christ. We are right now alive together with Christ. Number two, we are raised up with him. We are raised up with him. Number three, and we are seated in him. Right now, we are seated in him. When you gave your life to Christ, you sat down with him. We are one with him. we continue to be. This describes our spiritual position in him. He acted as our representative, not only for us, but as one of us. He became man. He became man and dealt with the pain in the same way that you and I do. In the same way. It hurt what Jesus did. It hurt. It was painful. He didn't get a pass. He didn't get a, he didn't get away with it. He had to suffer in the same way that every one of our bodies would suffer. He'd gone without food. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was beaten because I sinned, because of me. And that same resurrection power that gave him resurrection life has given it to us also. We have that same resurrection power. By grace you have been saved. Mercy means we do not get the punishment we deserve. Grace is we do get the salvation we do not deserve. Grace, as you remember, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. By our acceptance of him, we are seen as already delivered from this present evil world and seated in Christ in glory. This is how God sees us. We are already seated in Christ. We are in Christ. This should change our lives. Colossians 3:1. We will seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. His grace is boundless. His grace is boundless. We can't come to the end of his grace. I really got stuck in these first 10 verses, so I'm trying to move forward in this. But this is who God is. This is what he did for us, and we need to know it, and we need to be excited about it. In the ages to come, we're going to keep learning of God's grace. We're going to keep experiencing God's grace. He's going to keep showing us. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace you have been saved. That's the present tense. You are saved. By grace you are saved through faith. Man takes his place as a lost, as a guilty sinner, and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his only hope of salvation. Jesus is my only hope. Obi-Wan Kenobi is not it. Jesus is my only hope. He is the only one for me. It's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and the gift of salvation is by grace through faith. It is offered to all people everywhere, everyone. It is predestined that all be saved, but we have to accept the gift. We must accept the gift. We cannot just know about the gift. We have to accept the gift and have it be a part of us. And it's not by works. There is nothing you can do to earn it. Romans 3:27. If anyone could be saved by their good works, then the death of Christ would be unnecessary. Galatians 2:21. By grace you've been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Someone would say, oh, I made it because of what I did. Oh, I know that I noticed you're here too. Yeah, well, I'm here before you. You know, it's just, there's no boasting in this. No boasting in this that we can give. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I know I've told you this story as well before, but it fits right here so well. When my brother came to the Lord, his the neighbor guy who moved in was a pastor. And the pastor came over and shared with my brother. And he shared with him the book Left Behind. So when I was talking to my brother, he said, "Well, you know about the book Left Behind?" And I, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I didn't. I don't want to be. So I had no other choice but to accept Christ." Accepting Christ is the most sane, rational, sensible thing a man or a woman can do. It is sane. It is sensible. It is to trust our Creator and Redeemer is only logical, no matter what Spock says. He's always dealing with it. It's illogical. It is logical. Think about it. To trust your Creator, your Redeemer. It's the logical thing to do. He saved you from your sins. He's giving you a gift of freedom. He's causing you to walk in that. And you go, "Yeah, no, thanks. I got it." No, no, no. We are in Him. And we are, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are His poema. We are His masterpiece. We are His beautiful work of art. I sometimes feel like a Picasso myself. What's the word for Picassos? It's, what kind of art is that? No, that's abstract. I feel very abstract. A lot of times I feel very abstract. But that's the way God made me. You know, we look at ourselves and we go, "I don't like my hair. I don't like my nose. I don't like my hips. I don't like my feet. I don't like this about me. I don't like that about me." You are a beautiful work of art. You're a beautiful work of art. Every one of us are a beautiful work of art. That God did that. God did that. And then he predestined us. He gave us a purpose for life. And that purpose is good works, which God predestined before the beginning of time that we should walk in them, that we should live in them. So here's God's order then is this: faith, salvation, good works, reward. Faith, salvation, good works, reward. Faith, salvation, good works, reward. Makes a nice sound. So what have we learned so far? How to walk out what we've learned so far. Number one, confess and forsake sin as soon as you're aware of it. Confess and forsake sin as soon as you are aware of it. Instant confession, instant forgiveness, you can move on. Number two, be continually and unconditionally yielded to Him. Continually and unconditionally yielded to Him. Number three, study the Word of God to find out what His will is and then do it. Not enough to know it, got to do it. So you study the Word of God to find out what God's will is and then do whatever He tells you to do. Number four, invest time in prayer each day. Each day, invest time in prayer. It's prayer that changes us. It is prayer that changes things. Most of the time, it doesn't change our circumstances, but it changes who I am when I pray. It changes me. And God knows I need to be changed because I want to be like Him. I want to be changed into His likeness. And I can do that through prayer. I can do that when I invest that time in prayer with Him. Number five, seize opportunities of service every time they come up. And you guys are always so good at that. And number six, cultivate the fellowship and counsel of other Christians. Cultivate the fellowship and the counsel of other Christians. We need each other. We've talked about that so many times. We need each other. We need to draw together. We need to be serious about how we care about each other. True friends will encourage us. They'll walk beside us. They'll cry with us. They'll laugh with us. But a true friend will offend us and tell us we're doing something wrong and how we need to get it corrected. That's a true friend. A friend that sees you in a burning building and doesn't want to offend you by telling you you're in a burning building, it's not a friend. And so we need that kind of friend that is there with us at all times. And so we move into verses 11 through 22. And 11 through 22 are when the reconciliation of the Jews and the Gentiles. And therefore, remember that you, verse 11, once Gentiles in the flesh, you who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. So you're called the uncircumcision because you're not good enough. And the circumcision are the ones that are calling you that, but they've only been circumcised in the flesh, not in their hearts. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. They had no hope of a Messiah. The Gentiles had no hope of a Messiah. The Jews had a hope of a Messiah, but the Gentiles did not. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by what? By the blood of Christ. It is by the blood of Christ. When you trusted the Savior, God placed them in Christ Jesus and accepted them in the Beloved One. From then on, they were as near to God as Christ is. I want to tell you right now, you are as near to God as Jesus is. You right now are as near to God as Jesus is. We are one in him. We are part of his body. Because they were in Christ Jesus, and the cost of this marvelous change was the blood of Jesus shed at Calvary. Before Christ, there was just Jew and Gentile. But here we have them coming together. Someone pointed out to me this morning that the word, so the Greek word that's used is hais. And it's also the same word that from the Hebrew in Genesis, when it's talking about the two very different people becoming one, opposites becoming one, when man and woman come together and are one. These are the same words that are used in this text here, with the Gentiles and the Jew becoming one, the two separates becoming one and becoming part of that body. And so it's so cool that she shared that with me. And so verses 14 through 18 give us the scope of the work as our peace. And I just love this verse. For he himself is our peace, who is broken, who has made both one, have used that word that I just shared with you, and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. He himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. In other words, the believing Jew and the believing Gentile, once divided because of their enmity between them, are now both one in Christ. The cross is God's answer to everything. The cross is God's answer to everything. And he came, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that's where that word is used there that I shared with you. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. He preached to all that they would come. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And in this verse we have the Trinity. We have an explanation, if you will, of the Trinity. So when we pray to God the Father, approaching him through the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, there it's all right there in verse 18. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. And so because of Christ, the Gentiles are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the Jews, who are also in a new setting, that they are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are part of that body. This is not a building that we're talking about. It's talking about the church in this section. But when we think about church now, we think about a building, don't we? But we know also that we are the church. We are the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, and we move and have our being in him. We are all the body of Christ, being built on the foundation. In verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The prophets are the Old Testament that foretold of the Messiah. The apostles are the New Testament that tell of the Messiah's arrival. So the Old Testament prophets telling of the arrival of Christ, and the New Testament telling us how he arrived, what happened in all of that. So keeping that in mind, being built together on the foundation of the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone that holds them both together, in whom, in Christ, the whole building, the whole body is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We are one. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the body of Christ. We are all the same in the body of Christ. There is no distinction. We all belong to him if we have accepted him as our Savior and we live our life for him. So the chapter that began with a description of those who were dead and disobedient closes with the same people, cleansed from all their guilt and all their defilement, and forming a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So it ends with another thing that God's done for us. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Father, that you've gone before us, that you've spoken to each one of us tonight. I know, Lord, how hard it was with this particular lesson. Only you know really how hard it was, Lord. But God, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I got to teach this one. I love you, Lord. We love you. We give our hearts to you afresh, anew, Lord. We commit ourselves to you. Father, we put aside those things that have hindered us, Lord. Those things of the mind. Lord, help us to walk in newness of life, complete and sure and serious about loving you and living for you. Thank you that right now we are in eternity. from the moment we accepted you, we will have eternal life with you. And we are now seated with you in the heavenlies, that place that we need to go to when all of the things around us are falling apart, and just sit at your feet. Lord, would you just minister to the ladies as they get into their small groups, Lord, and speak to them the words that only you can, Lord. I pray, Father, that they would encourage one another, that they would love one another, that they would uphold one another, and Lord, that they would also challenge one another to good works. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys, and we're off to small groups.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.